Chapter 46. After another 24 hours, Rod looked a lot stronger and was getting restless. "Dad, can you help me up?" Joshua couldn't, but Sancho could. He wrapped one huge arm around Rod's shoulders and gently lifted him up to a stand, as easily as a child holding a doll. Rod was a little woozy upright, but he drank more water and waited until the world stopped spinning, he said. Then he had Joshua help him to a corner where he emptied his bladder. Rod looked around in a mildly confused way at the cave, the high roof, the glimmering underground lake, and the trolls, a band of them. Joshua imagined Rod could see at a glance this was an unusual group, with a kind of inverted age profile, full of oldsters, many of them apparently older than Sancho, with just a handful of young adults and cubs. "I have this memory of you going on about big trees, Dad. But here we are in this cave. So, big trees? Like sequoias?"
"Bigger than that. Trees so high you can't breathe the air at the top. Trees as tall as mountains, Rod. Trees miles high, all over this planet as far as I can tell."
Rod stared at him. "You sure that singer beast didn't tap your noggin a couple of times too?"
"I'd take you up to see for yourself if it was safe, but I don't need to do that. Look around. Look at the roof of this place, this cavern. You're underground, you understand that, yes? What do you see? What's holding up the roof?"
Rod looked at arching black pillars that came to a dense junction overhead, high enough that there was a faint mist up there, Joshua saw, with rock and earth caked between. "Ribs? Like the skeleton of a twain. Are they rock? But I've never seen a rock formation like that. It looks artificial. No, organic. Like it grew there."
He looked around, squinting, trying to follow the detail of the cavern roof, where it soared to even greater heights over the water.
"My God! Are they tree roots?"
Joshua had had time to figure all this out. He felt unfairly smug. "You know, some trees have root systems that can extend as far beneath the ground as the tree stretches up above it."
"I'm getting it, Dad. Slowly.
All this vast space is just a hollow under the root system of one of your Yggdrasils. Or more than one, yeah."
Rod held up his hand to create a shadow. "And the whole thing is glowing, isn't it? Glowing with light. But there's no source. No sun down here."
"Some kind of bioluminescence, I think," Joshua said. "The roof, some of the plants, like in the sea.
It's kind of gloomy. A lot of green and brown.
You get to miss the blue sky after a day or two."
"But there are trees, too," Rod said. "Trees growing in a cave."
He pointed to a couple of specimens, big enough for trolls to sit under. "Some of them are more like fungi, I think. Big mushrooms or toadstools, suited to the light. Not my speciality, unless they're edible. But there are ferns and shrubs and some fruiting plants. A thing like a big banana plant. There's plenty more life down here if you look closer. Big beetles burrowing in the bark. Ants building nests in the mulch. Most of them sightless, though."
"All feeding off what? The light from the roof?"
"I guess. A whole ecosystem fed by a trickle of energy from the sunlight gathered in the big leaves of the canopy, miles above us. And there has to be some kind of flow of air and water through, to keep that lake from stagnating, the air fresh. Well, if you can call a troll's fart fresh."
"There must be some payback," Rod said. "There always is. Some reason the big tree spends its energy like this. Maybe having all this stuff going on is good for its roots or something."
Joshua said, looking out at the lake, "You're right. I bet this is where the tree makes the hydrogen it needs, a natural electrolysis tank. And it's all maintained by the life forms down here. Lobsang would know."
"Hydrogen?
I'll explain later."
"Good to eat," Sancho said through the troll call.
"He's right about that," Joshua said. "No predators, fruit growing out of the walls. It's paradise for this bunch of old trolls." More like Fiddler's Green, Rod said.
Like in Pirates of the Caribbean?
You and your movies, Dad. It's an old sailor's legend, and there were enough old sailors serving on the Valhalla run twains in my day. Fiddler's Green, where the rum and tobacco never run out, and the fiddlers never stop playing. Just like this, where old trolls come when they're done wandering the long earth.
I guess. I can think of worse places to finish up.
Sancho rumbled through the horn.
Not finish up.
Rod twisted to look up at him. Not the elephant's graveyard, then. So what do you old fogies do all day down here?
Not all old.
Mostly, said Joshua. The troll tapped his own heavy skull with a forefinger.
Librarians. Big, roomy heads.
Ah, with the memories of the race stored away in there. Rod frowned. I thought the race memory was locked up in the troll singing, the long call.
It is, Joshua said. But there's more to it than that, Rod.
Rod looked dubious as Joshua tried to explain. So all these librarians from across the long earth, all with their heads full of memories, they come here and what?
Joshua smiled. I think Lobsang would say they sink. They put together their memories. They correct them. They lock them together. They share.
As if on cue, the troll song started to rise to one of its rhythmic peaks all around them.
I can even guess how it evolved, Joshua said. The scouts from different troll bands get together in congresses, where they share information about the hunt, about predators, about drought. This is a scout congress, but on a much grander scale, much more depth.
Sancho waved a hand.
Librarians from all over, songs from far away, all brought here.
Songs of distant earths, Joshua murmured.
Rod said. Memories going back how long?
Nobody knows. We do know the trolls have a history that makes ours look like an anecdote.
Just as well your generation didn't wipe them all out then, Dad.
No,
said Sancho unexpectedly. Joshua and Rod exchanged a look, and then Joshua faced the troll.
New?
What's new?
In song.
Sancho cocked his head, as if listening, and then made a kind of beckoning gesture.
Come, come, join us.
Rod looked startled. Join us? Dad, that's...
The invitation. I know. The radio astronomers, the Carl Sagan SETI thing. It was in the news before I left.
He smiled. So, the trolls are hearing the invitation too.
Well, of course they are. The invitation is a long earth phenomenon, and the trolls are just as important in the long earth as we are, more so.
Join us. It all fits. In a way, I think I heard it myself. Dad?
Joshua closed his eyes. You know, son, you can criticize me for my sabbaticals, for running away from my family, as your mother came to see it. I was born in the long earth, you know, in an empty world. Except it wasn't empty, not for me. I grew up hearing it when I started to step for myself. The silence, I called it. The song of the long earth itself. The song behind all the songs. The song behind the call of the birds and the rush of the wind. And in a way, when I was out on sabbatical, that was what I was looking for the whole time.
You know, Dad, I don't think I ever heard you say so many words altogether before.
Tentatively, Rod rested his hand on Joshua's shoulder.
I do try to understand, you know. We all did. Including Mom.
Joshua smiled. I guess that's all any of us can hope for.
But we can't stay here.
Rod looked up at Sancho.
We have to go home.
Sancho growled.
Take you.
Thank you. Thomas Tallis, Joshua said suddenly.
What movie was he in? Joshua grinned at his son. Old English composer, 16th century, I think. Georgina played me some of his stuff.
I guess it's stuck. That's what I keep thinking I'm hearing in the troll's song. Spem in alium, maybe. And that's why I've been thinking of that line. I have never put my hope in any other but in you, O God. Why should the trolls be singing some old English tune? Motet, I think it was called. I guess our music has been leaking out since long before step day. I wonder if Thomas Tallis was a natural stepper.
Home, the troll said firmly.